Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya, where today I'm joined in the studio by Charmaine Lovegrove, co-founder of Dialogue Scouting book-to-screen agency, for this week's book review. On the show, we'll be talking about three reads worth packing into your suitcase this summer, and those are Here Comes the Sun, a tale about working-class women in Jamaica by Nicole Dennis-Benn, a story of a British farming family by Tom Buller called Adlands, and arts critic Jeff Dyer's eloquent musings on what it means to travel in White Sands, experiences from the outside world. All that coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Charmaine Lovegrove, welcome to the show. Our first book today takes us to Jamaica. Here Comes the Sun is by Nicole Dennis-Benn, a writer from Kingston who studied in the US and now resides in New York. This is her first novel. Charmaine, tell us a little bit about why you like this.
Well, I mentioned when I was last on the show that I'd been to Calabash to the Literary Festival and I'd met Nicole then, and she gave me her book and I basically like read it in an afternoon. I was just so fascinated by the world, how original the world is, that it's from the perspective of women, women who play such a large part in Jamaican society, but are often kind of overlooked because men men often have like such a like a huge role within the society in terms of like sort of aggression and violence and sexuality, but behind it all, you know, Jamaica has, I think, like 57% of women are kind of like within the sort of working ruling class within Jamaica. So I thought it was really great to actually like flag this up and look at the mobility of women. So what we have here in this book is a woman called Margot, who is a sort of a very ambitious hotel assistant. And basically she'll do anything to gain money and sort of power in order to help her sister, who is sort of her weak spot. Her sister Thandi is she's a young girl, she's 16, and she started bleaching her skin. And skin bleaching is like a really huge thing in the Caribbean and also in Africa and parts of North America and Britain. And it, you know, it's really sad that women feel that in order to be beautiful, they have to bleach. So we meet her sister, Thandi, and we learn about Margot's life as working in the hotel. And we also learn that she's a lesbian and that she has to keep this quiet because homosexuality is banned and is legal in Jamaica. So we get into this kind of really murky hotel resort world. And normally it's like, you know, Jamaica is built upon tourism. Because of sanctions, then it's cheaper to buy a banana from Brazil than it is for a Jamaican to grow their own banana and sell it. So therefore, you know, the hotel industry is like the big industry of the country. And so Margot and her boss, Alfonso, who is sort of from white British extraction, they come up with this plan to make this kind of sex hotel, this sex resort. And you know, it's really seedy and murky, but it's also really illuminating to kind of follow these women's lives and kind of see how they try and make peace with themselves on this island.
And to a certain extent, Margot is kind of going through all of this to protect her younger sister and hopefully not allow her to go into the same world. Is that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, essentially Margot, her childhood was marred by sexuality, of kind of child prostitution. You know, these like really kind of dark areas, but there's something about the fact that this layering of like of Jamaica and this sort of brightness and the patois and the language and the culture that somehow you, when you're reading it, you just think this is just a really tale for all women and for all people, and that you're not angry, you know, about the world. You kind of feel like what you have to do in the world is like forge your own way and forge your own path, but make sure that you're being good to the people that are around you and that you're being honest and true. And so there's a lot of kind of morality, and I think that Nicole has really done that so well. She's really sort of strung out this sort of morality and the tale of being true to yourself.
Here Comes the Sun by Nicole Dennis-Benn is out on the 5th of July, published by W.W. Norton and Company. From tropical Jamaica, we now head into the British countryside for our second book today, Adlands by Tom Buller. This tells the story of two generations of the Hammer family who work the Funan farm. Charmaine, introduce us to some of the characters we have in this family.
So we have Idris, who is the father of the first generation, and he's kind of plagued by sort of memories of World War One. And then you've got his son Oliver, who is a drinker and a fighter, and you know, he's kind of quite a rough and tumble character, but is also you know, he's so in touch with the land and where they're from that actually you see these sort of very different sides to this sort of very manly Welshman. And then there's Oliver's mother, Etta, who basically can, you know, whilst all these men are kind of musing on their life and sort of trying to work out their place as men in a world that's ever changing, she's actually kind of quite a practical figure who's trying to work out what their lives are going to look like. And I think, you know, this book is really apt to read at the moment, because there is, obviously, we've just had the referendum, we've just had like questions about what it's like to live in Britain, and especially what it's like to live in Wales. And I think that this book is very timely, as it answers a lot of questions, or at least gives us a very good insight into what it's like to live somewhere where there's a lot of expectation, where there's a lot of history, there's a lot of knowledge of the land and culture, but for some reason we're not quite able to kind of grasp why people aren't able to move forward in their lives and kind of get trapped in this spiral.
Is there a kind of plot to this story? Or, I mean, when you describe it there, it feels like it's just a bit of a kind of stationary portrait of a family. I mean, does it move? Is there a plot here?
I think it's more about like the way that there is like a story that runs through it of the family, but I think it's more about the kind of the language and the landscape, and that really kind of shapes this novel as to how we see it. So we're observing this family within a space and time, and we're looking at like, you know, their knowledge of the region, like how, for example, Oliver like really knows about wildflowers, for example, and then what happens when those are going to be bulldozed. And you know, it's sort of about understanding a life, and it is a sort of more of a snapshot using kind of local language. And you know, again, with Here Comes the Sun, you know, what I like about both of these books is that it's like the language and the culture and the sort of the local dialects that are used. And so understanding that English within its sort of very sort of international reach, and that English can be changed and can be compressed to a localism. And I think that localism and very sort of realism, that sort of narrative realism that we get with this book, is what makes it so strong.
And you mentioned there that obviously when it comes to language, Buller uses a lot of local dialect and quite a lot of description of the landscape. People have commended him for kind of bringing the landscape to life, and you really get a connection, don't you, of kind of the character's connection to the land.
Yeah, and I think that that's so important, because in the end it's like, especially coming from an urban environment that's constantly changing, then you realise that land and the countryside changes really, really slowly. And I mean, it changes with season, but then when you're told that you have to do something differently, or people come in and impose their views on how you should live, you know, you really see how it affects the individual. Because if you don't, you know, that if you learn from your family when you live on the land, but if someone comes in and says you need to do this, but then they don't really give you the tools to do it with, or they don't show you how to use those tools to your benefit, then like how can you really respect and appreciate? And I think, as I said, I think this is so timely, because these are exactly the questions that we're asking right now as a country and as a nation and as Europeans. And I think it's so well observed. And obviously he had no idea that this is what was going to happen, because the book was written a while ago and just published now. But I think that kind of understanding of like an individual family, this micro shot and this of this microcosm of this world, is really awe-inspiring, and I really loved reading it.
Adlands by Tom Buller is out now, published by Granter Books. White Sands, Experiences from the Outside World by Jeff Dyer, is our final book on today's Monocle Arts Review, as picked by Charmaine Lovegrove. Now, as the title suggests, this book is about travel, but it blends fact and fiction with a bit of memoir as well. Charmaine, what did you make of this?
Well, again, when I was talking about Calabash, then I said that I would review this book, because Jeff gave such an amazing talk at the festival, where he read sort of part of the book and then he left the end, and everyone was like, We just want to know what happens next. So basically, that's like a really good trick to sell out a book.
Okay.
Is to like really build a story. And what he does in this this sort of travelogue, in this sort of part memoir, part travelogue, and part blurring of fact and fiction, is really bring us this kind of narrative structure of like of. You know, each place that he goes to visit, then Jeff Dyer is like, he's so masterful. He's basically interweaving kind of fact, fiction, his childhood memories, and within this sort of narrative. So you're never really sure, like, if you're in one place or another. But what you are is you're always following him on the page. Like, you always know that it's his voice, and you absolutely like trust him to wherever he's going to take you. And you don't know where that is, and where you start from and where you end up are two completely different places. And the journey that you go on with him is what makes each chapter like it's just so inspiring, and you really actually can't put it down. I loved it.
Where does he actually take us on this? I mean, where does our journey lead us with Jeff?
So there's like parts of America. So one of the stories that I really loved was, I think it's kind of near Florida, but basically he's in a car with a guy that he's like, are you actually a kind of gangster? And have you just like run away from a penitentiary, for example? And he's in a car with him. He just picked him up as a hitchhiker. You also see him in like Beijing or in New Mexico. And of course, like, he's been living in Los Angeles with his wife for quite a while now. And so we're also in LA. And when he's in these places, he's literally like, okay, I'm here for this reason, but actually I just don't really think that's interesting. So he goes to Tahiti, and he goes to see Gauguin, and you know, and kind of understand his life in like 1842. And then he just gets there and he's like, I've actually lost the biography that I was taking about, you know, the biography. I've like lost it in transit, so now I'm here without sort of my crucial notes. And actually, is he that interesting? And is that really what I want to talk about? Or is it just interesting to be here? And it kind of starts from there and just goes on. And so it's sort of exemplary in its, again, with all three books today, it's like about language, it's about culture, it's about sort of the narrative of finding a culture. It's about like learning how to live in a place with great unknowns. It's about sort of going around the globe and that kind of blurring between fact and fiction.
And I mean, as you mentioned there, kind of one of the central themes here is that idea of disappointment. You know, you reach your destination, but it's not actually quite what you expected it to be. And you yourself are never quite the traveller that you wanted yourself to be. I mean, do you think there's a sense of redemption here that's fine and that disappointment leads to something better?
Yeah, there's an advert on at the moment, and on television, where the parents go away for like a week, and then you just, you know, you see it all sped up, and then you're just like, that looks really daunting, that holiday with like two kids and camping. And then at the end, the dad's thinking, where are we going to go next? And I think it's that there's something that's so important about like the imperfection of being away, that basically if going away was always perfect, you would never go home. And I think the fact is that wherever he's going on this journey within White Sands and the outside world, that he's always trying to sort of work out where home is, and also himself. And that's why we go back and forth between like his childhood and memories. And, you know, he starts off talking about the fact he's from Cheltenham, and, you know, Jeff doesn't have a long attention span. You know, if he's not interested in something, he's just not going to do it. And I think, you know, he has such a brilliant brain. He is such a brilliant writer that said, like, it's his journey that you just want more of.
White Sands: Experiences from the Outside World by Jeff Dyer is out now, published by Pantheon Books. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to my guest, Charmaine Lovegrove. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our film review with Tim Robey. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks very much for tuning in.